And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at the three wicked dynasties in the U.S. presidency. Three wicked dynasties. These three wicked dynasties are insidious, devious, evil, and full of satanic corruption. Who might that be? The three dynasties. Do we have dynasties in America? Well, they say we have free elections and we vote. But as you know, everything is rigged. Rigged. We have an election going on right now, of course, in which Donald Trump says the election is rigged. He encourages his supporters to go to the polls, not just to vote, but to hang around and look and see what's going on and see how much cheating they can find. And you know, we're already voting absentee in a number of states, and we're already getting the advanced cheaters. In Philadelphia, they figured out already there's hundreds of dead people voting. Well, not really dead people voting, but somebody's voting using their names. That's happening in Virginia too. In fact, just in 8 counties, they found over 1,000 dead people. That would translate in the whole state to probably 40 or 50,000. That's just the dead people. How about the illegal aliens? They can't vote, can they? But they're doing it. You know, I'm from Texas, and of course, Texas has a great reputation as a state where people vote even when they're in the grave. I remember Lyndon Johnson was running for U.S. Senator, and somebody who had written a little expose of him was found dead. They were shot, I think, 9 times in the back. And the county coroner ruled that it was suicide. But they never could figure out how the guy shot himself in the back 9 times. Now, I believe that was the way it happened. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can correct me. You know, I'm just going from memory here. It was something like, I think it was 9 times in the back. But LBJ didn't have to worry about him anymore. And, you know, there was a county here in Texas, Duval County, that always seemed to vote for LBJ. The problem was more people voted than lived in the whole county. Oh, we've had some weird times here in Texas with LBJ. But right now, this election is really crazy because, you know, the guy that shot to death, could be stabbed too. A lot of people are being stabbed by Muslim immigrants. You know, the guy's last name is Satan, C-E-T-A-N. How appropriate is that? He's from Turkey, 20 years old, lived in Washington State, went to the mall there and took a rifle and killed 4 women and a man. Said he did it for Allah. They checked on the guy a little bit and found out that he had voted 3 times. Even though he's not qualified to vote at all. But the Secretary of State for Washington, where this happened, says that Mr. Satan voted because there's nothing to stop him. They said, we don't have any laws in Washington State that can prevent an illegal alien from voting. Well, there are 37 states now that don't have any laws about voting. 37 states. Now, every state used to have a law, but over the last 10 years, it seems like these liberal judges have started creating a new law because they don't like the laws that the states made. So they say, no, they're too restrictive. They're not fair to people. You can't make a person show an ID before they vote. Well, Well, that's taking away their rights. Of course, to get in most courthouses today, you need some kind of ID. They don't let you in the door anymore because there's so much terrorism and murders going on. You need an ID, but that's to protect the judge. But to protect the voting system and the voters, you don't need anything. So Jose Gomez or Juan Guerrera can vote, 20 or 30 times. One guy was found out here in Austin, Texas, last election. He went down to vote, told him he didn't have an ID, and they said, well, just sign this, this form. So he signed a form, and where did the form go? Well, it went in the trash can, of course, at the election. It didn't mean anything. He just signed that he was a citizen, and he lived at a certain address, and he signed that form, did not show an ID, and he voted. That was the new, rule in Texas. The problem was somebody had taken their aunt or something to the vote at the polls there, and they noticed this man going in to vote at that particular precinct. Well, while they were driving home from work that day, they went by a different precinct about 10 miles away, and guess who they saw walking up the sidewalk? That same man was voting in another precinct. They said, isn't that the same guy, same clothes, everything? I saw him voting in the other precinct. So they stopped and asked the guy. He was Hispanic. Sir, didn't you vote down in, South Austin here, in precinct such and such? No, I don't vote, he said. No, I don't vote. But really, I saw you voting in that other place. No, you mistake. You make mistake. Well, they got the voting people out and found out that this guy had voted. He'd been voting all day long. He'd been going from precinct to precinct, voting and voting and voting. When they caught him, he said, well, I thought I could do it. I thought I could do that. And you can't blame me. He said, I'm from Mexico. I don't know voting rules. I'm from Mexico. Well, I suspect this election we're going to have probably 10 or 20 million illegal aliens vote. Of course, they will all vote for Hillary Rodham Clinton because they've been promised things. Like Black Lives Matter. Go out and demonstrate and we'll pay you $50 today. Plus give you, you're not doing anything anyway, just sitting around getting your welfare checks, making trouble in your neighborhoods. Hey, get on the bus. We'll take you to the demonstration and get off there and why George Soros has given us money to pay you to demonstrate. They get off to demonstrate. The newsman says, why are you demonstrating? I don't know. For $50, they say. Yes, we have a strange system. And the dynasties that we've had for, 30 years or so, the dynasties have ensured this system. We don't have a free vote anymore. We don't. I mean, everybody knows who you're supposed to vote for. You vote for the one that they won't. Now, sometimes they won't either one, because the Democrats and the Republicans are all the same. I mean, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, is a Republican, supposedly. And Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, is a Republican. Supposedly. But of course, they meet secretly in the White House with Barack Obama and, it's all agreed. They give him everything he wants. All the money and all the laws and everything. They come out sometime and say, oh, that Obama, he's a bad guy. He's just not to be trusted. He's A, B, C, D. But really, they love the guy. They're all a big pal of him. And when he asks them, they all go playing golf together and they go to the nightclubs together and they meet their boyfriends. Did I just say boyfriends? Yeah. They meet their boyfriends and they share their boyfriends too. Oh yes. We're going to talk about that today. These dynasties. You see, Congress has many dynasties. We have a corrupt Congress. It's rigged. And most of the senators and representatives are lesbians and homosexuals. Now, I know Tex Mars is a crank. I'm just a crackpot. I don't know anything. I'm just a stupid old crackpot. But you know what? I'm correct. I'm right about it. I'm going to tell you about some of these homosexuals today. They're all over the place. For example, Colin Powell came out that somebody unleashed, they hacked. In other words, they went into the computer, they hacked, got all of his emails. Boy, was he ever furious about that. In his emails, he's of course a Republican. Oh yes, Colin Powell, he's a general, he's a Republican. Oh man. Why? He was in the George Bush administration? Oh yes, oh yeah. He's a Republican, but wait. He voted for Barack Obama, isn't he a Democrat? Well yes, but he's black, that's why. Blacks always vote for Obama. Really? Now, let's just take Colin Powell. He's a respectable man. He's a general. But anybody will tell you that he's what they call a political general. Now, he went to Vietnam and he served in Vietnam. I give him credit for that. You know, they make your career and they send you to this place or that place, but they make sure you don't get killed, you don't get shot at and all that. Not if you're one of the favored ones. And it seems that Colin Powell was always one of the favored ones. Now, he's part of several dynasties, you know, the George Bush dynasty and the Barack Obama dynasty and all that. He's the guy that went to the United Nations and told them about the weapons of mass destruction that are in Iraq. They're there. And he showed them these vials of drugs. This is chemical weapons. This is biological weapons. Oh, what's going to happen? There's going to be mushroom clouds over America if we don't attack Saddam Hussein today. Of course, now he says that was a mistake. Bad intelligence, you know. They always have bad intelligence, don't they? Well, he says bad intelligence he got. That's why he went to the United Nations and told them about those non-existent weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had. Of course, within a couple of years, Saddam Hussein was gone. He told everybody there was no weapons of mass destruction, but Colin Powell and George Bush and Dick Cheney, they took him and took his government away from him and murdered him. Murdered? Yeah, they murdered him. Hung him. Oh, they hung that boy. Why? For he used weapons of mass destruction against his next door neighbors, the Iranians. Now, think about it. The United Nations hates Iran. We hate Iran, but we hung on the gallows their enemy who fought them in a war. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And the thing about it is, Saddam Hussein was the legitimate president. He was voted in by the voters. But we didn't care about that. We took over the government anyway. We lied about his weapons of mass destruction, Colin Powell did. And they hung the guy. By the way, I understand that ISIS took the judge that found Saddam Hussein guilty, and they have now hung him. So it seems that the hangman, they get the noose themselves in those Muslim countries. Oh boy. But it seems that Cheney and Bush are still roaming the United States, and I don't know, they're after bimbos and all kind of stuff. They're out there prancing and dancing and teasing and all kind of silly stuff. But old Saddam Hussein and the judge who found him guilty, they're both dead. Oh yeah, we saw to that. Now, let's just look at Colin Powell. Now, he's a big pal of Henry Kissinger. Now, Henry Kissinger, they say, is a homosexual. Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. Well, he married some gal later on because people were putting out rumors that he was a homosexual. He says, oh, I'm going to marry somebody, and then they won't think that I'm a homosexual. Remember, he's talked about having that power was the biggest aphrodisiac. some nonsense like that. Well, Colin Powell, as a young boy, came from Jamaica to New York City, to the Bronx. He was a Bronx boy. But it's interesting that in an assignment to Israel, people caught him speaking Israeli. They caught him speaking Hebrew. Well, how do you know Hebrew? He knows Hebrew. Well, as a young boy, I used to work for the Jews in their synagogues. I was the boy. They couldn't do anything on Saturday, so I went in and turned on the lights and all that stuff for them. You know, they need a goy to come do all that stuff, and I was a little black goy that did it. That's interesting. So the black goy worked for the Jews when he was little. Now, the Jews are known as homosexuals. You say that can't be true. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In fact, I was reading an article yesterday in a magazine. A guy's fighting it. He's a rabbi. He's a Jewish rabbi. He's upset. He says that over half of all the rabbis in I think it's in New York City, they're all gay, he said. And the worst thing is they take little boys and take them to the bathhouses and they diddle with them. You know what I mean? He says over 50% of the Jewish rabbis are all gay. And they're doing it to all these little boys. But the little boys, their parents know about it, but they're afraid to report it. Because see, you don't report anything to the police if you're Jewish. You report to the synagogue. You tell the rabbi. You say, Rabbi so-and-so has been diddling with my little boy in the bathhouses. Now the problem is that rabbi is also diddling with other little boys in the bathhouses, and they all are. So they find you guilty for reporting it. Then you get in trouble with all the rabbis. Oh, that's the way New York City works. Oh yes. The majority of the rabbis are all gay. The people know it. And they just give their little boys over. You know, it's so funny, but the little girls, it seems that the rabbis don't want to do anything with sexually. By the way, it seems that if you're 3 years old, they can have you sexually as a little girl, and they say that you really don't lose your virginity. And it's perfectly okay in the Talmud to have sex with a three-year-old little girl. But they really want the little boys. Oh, yes. The rabbis want the little boys. They want sex with them. So they've increased the age of that Talmud. And the little boys can be 9 years old. Over nine, that is. So if you find a little boy and he's 7, 8, 9, you can have sex with him. That's not wrong. In fact, that's okay. That's in the Talmud. Grown men having sex with little boys. But make sure they're 9 years old now. Oh boy, don't we have a sick country? Don't we have a sick country, folks? Now let's get back to Colin Powell. It seems that he was favored by the Jews and he went in the military and boy, he went up the ranks fast for a black man. He went straight up. Pretty soon they made him a general and they put him, you know, in the White House and boy, he's doing great. I mean, he didn't have to go like George Patton or Douglas MacArthur or anything like that. He was just a political general. Then it ended up that finally they made him I think he was Secretary of State. Yeah, he was Secretary of State. That's right before Hillary. Now, it seems that Colin Powell, who, let's just put it this way, he's rumored to be homosexual. Now, I know that may shock some of you because of Colin Powell. A homosexual? I said he's rumored to be. Now, he went over to Asia for a conference as Secretary of State. Now, while he was over there, they did a strange thing. They had a little show. You know how the Masons have all these dramas, these shows? The Freemasons. And the other secret societies do well. Well, they had a little show. And they had Colin Powell. And he was on stage. Now, I caught this on YouTube. I was just looking at YouTube. I usually don't even look at those videos. And there it was, Colin Powell. Colin Powell was dressed funny. What? He was dressed in blue jeans. He had brogan shoes. And he had a plunger, a commode plunger hanging from his belt, had on a shirt that was, you know, just like a workman shirt. And he was up there with a bunch of other workers. They were all in a band. Yeah, he was a music man. And he was performing for this big group of foreign officials. And they were singing a song. He was the one singing the song. It was a pantomime, of course. He didn't really sing it. And you know, it was that old song by the Village People. Do you remember that song? YMCA. I want to tell you about YMCA. You see, YMCA is the plundering ground. That's where all the queers go and get their little boys. Oh, yeah. In Minnesota, LBJ would go to Minnesota, St. Paul, and, you know, Minneapolis. And he would go to with his friend, LBJ, I'm talking about Lyndon Johnson, his friend, Billy Graham. You know Billy Graham? Yeah, he and LBJ would be there. And they would get their third friend, Hubert Humphrey. Remember Hubert Humphrey was vice president of the United States under Lyndon Johnson? Now, Hubert was a queer. He was a homosexual. Everybody knew he was queer. And LBJ, he could be queer. He could be the other way. He was both ways. And Billy Graham, well, you just make your choice. But let me tell you about this. When LBJ and Hubert would go to Minnesota to visit Billy Graham, they always made a little stop at the YMCA. And they all went and swam naked. Naked. Naked as a jaybird. Well, it seems that word got out that Billy Graham was swimming naked at the YMCA with LBJ and Hubert Humphrey. And that Hubert Humphrey was a queer. So Billy Graham was interviewed by Playboy magazine, of all things. And he was asked about this. And Billy Graham said, yes, yes, that's right. I swim naked. I swim naked there in the Y. And it's very, very liberating and very wonderful to swim naked. Folks, you decide about that. I'm just telling you the facts. That's all. Of course, LBJ, you know, he was a rounder. He had a girl, a friend named, what was her name? I forget it. But I have the book, in fact, written by the woman, Miss Brown, I think her name is Miss Brown. He had a little boy and a love child and all of that. Boy, he's got a history, doesn't he? Oh, yeah. He even tried to get Jackie Kennedy in bed with him after her husband was killed. That's what she said. That's what Jackie Kennedy said. He invited her to the White House, to the Oval Office. Why don't you come up and see me sometime, bunny? That's what he said. These are mysteries, aren't they? Mysteries. By the way, old Colin Powell, he recently was exposed to these emails. It seems that he was writing these emails, and he said that he really got mad because Hillary was trying to blame him for what happened at the State Department with all of her emails being lost and their phones being smashed and all that stuff by her aides and, you know, all that corruption. And said, she's trying to blame me for all that, he said. And all I did was tell her that I had a private server too, you know, but I didn't do what she did and blah, blah, blah. Well, they exposed his emails and he was talking about Hillary, said she had enormous ambitions, said she was greedy. Well, everybody knows that she's very greedy. But her husband, he's still with all the bimbos. He's still getting with all the bimbos. That's all the girls. So Bill Clinton is still getting with all the bimbos. And his wife is greedy. It's incredible. Meanwhile, they found a strange email on there. It seems that Colin Powell is good friends with a Canadian politician from Canada. Now, it seems that this Canadian politician is a homosexual. And Colin Powell wrote him a letter and said, I would love to come and see you for a few days. Now, the man who dressed up and did the YMCA song made a fool of himself before a big crowd of big shots. The man had a friend in Canada, a homosexual, and he said, I want to come up and see you soon. He said, I'd love
to come up and see you sometime. Just for a few days. Oh, yes.
I'm sure they were going to talk about weapons of mass destruction, don't you think? Now, let's just talk about... Wait just a minute. You said what? Did I hear you say that? Did you say Colin Powell is married? Well, they all are. They need a beard. That's what they call. They need a beard. They need somebody to fake marriage to them. Of course. I mean, Liza Minnelli, she's homosexual. She's a lesbian. She married this guy, and he was a homosexual. But I mean, they do that. I mean, Ann Richards, she was governor of Texas. She was a big lesbian, but she had a boyfriend. They have boyfriends. It looks good to the masses. To the voters, it looks great. Why, they can't be. Now, Senator Wofford of Pennsylvania, he married his lover recently. For 50 years, he had this lover boy, but he was married. Isn't that interesting? A U.S. Senator. Senator Wofford, Pennsylvania. Oh, yeah. They're all, don't you understand, my friends? These people are sick. They're sick. They're deviants. They're sick. Listen, LBJ would have sex with a snake. Well, not that bad, but he was evil. Joe Biden was caught saying this recently in Congress. A young girl came up. She was only about 14 or 15 with her parents, and they were taking a photo op with the vice president, and he suddenly said something strange. He looked at her, and she was a pretty girl. He said, you know, it's strange, said Vice President Joe Biden, but a man can go to bed with a pretty girl and then wake up the next morning with a serpent. Whoa! And then he just changed the subject. Think about that. He looked at this, and then he hugged that girl, by the way. Oh, boy, hugged her. Think about that. The Vice President of the United States saying, a man can go to bed with a young girl, a pretty girl, and wake up the next morning with a serpent in his bed with him. What's that all about? Think about it. Now, let's talk about Bush, the Bush dynasty, the Clinton dynasty, and the Obama dynasty. There's three wicked dynasties. All this other stuff I was talking about was just sort of a warm-up. Now we're going to talk about these dynasties. Now, George Herbert Walker Bush was the first one. You know, people used to call him a wimp. Wimp, W-I-M-P. Now, wimp to me is, you know, a little wimpy guy with a, you know, with a wrist. You know, queer, homosexual. They call him wimps. And I always wondered why George Herbert Walker Bush, why do they call him a wimp? I didn't realize that the war in Washington, D.C. was well known as a homosexual. In fact, he was known as a pedophile. No, George Herbert Walker Bush, it seemed, the word was getting around that he was a pedophile. In fact, it was in a Washington Times article. Talked about him jetting little boys in from Nebraska. Oh, yeah, they jetted them in from Nebraska, from Boys Town, no less. Boys Town, Nebraska, jetted these orphan boys in, and they had sex with them at the White House. Boy, isn't that something? It was in the newspaper. It seemed that George Bush Sr. was one of the participants. Now, this word got out, and they didn't want anybody to know about that, and Reagan was going to fire him as vice president because Ronald Reagan was president and George Herbert Walker Bush was his vice president, so George Herbert Walker Bush had to do something. Finally, they figured out a plan. Jennifer. They used the Jennifer plan. Now, when we come back in just a minute, I'm going to tell you about Jennifer. Jennifer. Oh, it worked beautifully. George Herbert Walker Bush. I'm going to tell you about the Skull and Bones Society, about George W. and his homosexual relationships. And, of course, Billy Graham and some of his shenanigans. We'll talk about that. I'm Tex Mars. As long as they allow me to live, I'm still here. Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back after this message. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, I have two new books out. One is entitled Holy Serpent of the Jews. And the other book is a blockbuster. It's entitled the destroyer. The destroyer. You know, a well-known Jewish official said, we Jews are destroyers. We are the destroyers. And nothing you Gentiles will ever do will please us. We must have our own world. Is that true? Well, I decided to go to the Bible. You know, the Bible tells about the Antichrist. And it's interesting, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, says this. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Think about that. Didn't the Apostle John know? Boy, he knew, didn't he? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's an Antichrist. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The Jews say, well, we recognize the Father, but we don't recognize the Son. The Muslims say, we recognize Allah as the Father, but we don't recognize the Son. Well, it seems like they're in the category of Antichrist, the Jews and the Muslims. Both together, just like a scorpion, or two scorpions in a bottle. You ever thought of that, two scorpions in a bottle? They usually end up fighting each other to the death. Well, in any case, this book gives you 55 biblical reasons. 55 biblical reasons why the Antichrist will be a Jew. And I believe he's on earth today. I don't know when he'll present himself. And I don't know when the Battle of Armageddon will happen and Jesus will return, because nobody really knows the day nor the hour. But I do know that the Antichrist seems to be right here on earth. And everything is happening for his arrival. And the Jews, the rabbis, met in New York City, 6,000 rabbis, and they demanded that God produce their Christ. Their Christ. Who is the Jewish Christ? Well, that would be the Antichrist, because they reject Jesus. And anyone that rejects the Son of God, Jesus Christ, anybody who does that is an Antichrist. So those 6,000 rabbis are Antichrists. Think about that. Now, I know you've heard that the Jews are wonderful and loving and humanitarian. And well, of course, and they worship the same God we do and all of that. But that's all baloney. Because I prove without a doubt that in Holy Serpent of the Jews, they worship the serpent. The serpent, the devil, is their Messiah. Of course he would have to be. He would have to be if they're the Antichrist. Now I know there will be one Antichrist. One who will call himself a God in this world, a Christ. But there are many little Antichrists. There are many little rabbis who are Antichrist. This book is an amazing book. I'm not under any illusions. I don't think one Christian bookstore will offer it. I don't. You're going to have to buy it from this ministry. You're going to have to order it from us, or amazingly, you can still get it from Amazon.com. Amazon. They still have it. I don't know for how long. Because, after all, the head of Amazon is Jeff Bezos, a corrupt Jew, who, by the way, is also the owner of the corrupt New York Times that's telling many corrupt lies about Donald Trump. So that'll tell you a little bit about Amazon and Mr. Bezos, won't it? In any case, my book is being offered at Amazon. The Destroyer, for $20, please add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for the Destroyer, and we'll send it right to you. If you're bold enough, if you're brave enough to read it. Many people don't want to read it. They're afraid. They're frightened. Because they'll discover 55 factors, 55 truths in the Bible. You see, I didn't make up anything. I decided to look at Judaism. I decided to see what the rabbis were saying. And I decided to check with God God, what have you got to say about the rabbis? What have you got to say about their Christ, the one that they're demanding come forth and rule the world and give them the world? That's what they're demanding. What do you say, God? What does your word say? And you know, there's plenty. God told me plenty. And I put it down in a book. You can't deny it because God said it. It's in the book. Now, I know the Christian bookstores won't take my books anymore. But that's okay. Everyone that God wants to read this book will read it. I didn't write this book. I didn't research and discover the truth about this book to make money. I don't get 1 cent in royalties from this book. Everything goes into this ministry, and I don't see that money. We don't make a lot of money. In fact, we actually have lost money the last couple of years, but we're still in business. Why? Because we own our own building. We own our own equipment. And we have great employees here. They believe in what they're doing. And they know that we should do what God says and expose the Antichrist, the one that John talked about in chapter 2. And that's what we're doing. And you know what, friends? We're having a barrel of fun doing it. I love to expose these evildoers. Some people say, aren't you sad? Aren't you? No, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm exposing them. I'm sorry for them, but they've got their chance. They can redeem themselves. How? By having faith in Jesus Christ. That's how. That's right. You can redeem yourself. Well, you really can't redeem yourself, but if you believe in Jesus Christ and have faith, He will redeem you. He will redeem you. He is the Redeemer. But it starts with your belief. I know some people say, well, it starts with God pulling you, drawing you to Him. That's true. I pray that will happen to you if you're not a child of God. The destroyer, the Antichrist, is at hand. $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Please write to us at Power of Prophecy. Say, send me that book, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. We haven't been cut off yet. Now, I know Obama turned over to the crooked United Nations Bureau all the website information that from now on they're going to start policing the internet. So someday you may go there and most every website that opposes the establishment will be gone. But until that happens, we're right here. We sure are. And we're going to stay here. And you know what? If they cut us off, well, we'll just find other ways. We're going to get the message out. The early disciples didn't have an internet. They didn't have a radio. They got the word out. And that word went to hundreds of millions eventually, didn't it? Oh, yes, God has His ways. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking today about the three dynasties of evil, of corruption. Now, I was talking about George Herbert Walker Bush. You see, they were worried that he was known as a wimp, as a pedophile. Word was getting out. So what do they do about George Herbert Walker Bush? Well, they picked a woman in his, you know, coterie of employees named Jennifer. She was a nice lady. And they put out a false rumor. Now, the Bush did this to himself. He put out a false rumor that he was having an affair with Jennifer. And then he came forth and he was mad. And he held a press conference and he said, I am not having an affair with Jennifer. This is a lie. Well, Jennifer said, no, I'm not having an affair. And you know, all the reporters said, that's true. He's not having an affair. And then they forgot all about the pedophile thing. See, if you get out the word that you're having an affair with some woman, then how could you be a pedophile? How could you be a homosexual? Because a lot of people will if the rumor gets out, they'll believe the where there's smoke, there's fire, and all that kind of nonsense. That's how he got off. He rigged a deal there. Now, George Herbert Walker Bush was an oil man. He was a wimp. He was a pedophile. And, you know, he had headed up a group that was started by Rockefeller called Zero Population Growth, a big pro-abortion group. But, of course, Ronald Reagan didn't like that, and so he had to change. He said, okay, I'm jettisoned. I'm getting rid of Zero Population Growth. ZPG is gone. By the way, George Herbert Walker Bush also was a member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. And Reagan said, I'd never have as my vice president anybody who was a member of the CFR or the Trilateral Commission. So George Herbert Walker Bush said, well, I'll get rid of that too. So he did. You know, Ronald Reagan was pretty straight arrow. I mean, as straight arrows go, he was pretty straight. But George Herbert Walker Bush was the vice president, and he was always scheming. And you know, they say that Nancy Reagan was angry at the Bushes because she figured that Hinckley, the guy that shot her husband, tried to kill him, was sent by the Bushes. It turns out that Hinckley Sr., Hinckley's father, was a friend of the Bushes. Now, they do that a lot. They have their own sons. And, well, in any case, Nancy Reagan was convinced that George Herbert Walker Bush tried to kill her husband. Remember that? They attempted assassination on him. Hinckley did it. Now, George Herbert Walker Bush was a strange guy, and he was a member of Skull and Bones. Now, Skull and Bones, you have to lay naked in a coffin. And the other 14 members, there's 15 in all, they all go around the coffin, and they make you tell all of your sexual exploits, homosexual or straight, that you've ever had. You have to tell them all while you're laying there naked. Then I suppose they do things. I don't know just what they do, but anyway, they probably do some bad things. Now, George Herbert Walker Bush was a member of Skull and Bones like his dad was, Prescott Sheldon Bush, there at Yale University. It seems that George W. Bush took after his dad. He was also made a member of Skull and Bones. Now, how did he even get to Yale? Because George W. Bush was a dummy. He was now known as a dummy who never did much in making college grades and all that stuff. And he, well, John Kerry was also a member of Skull and Bones. He was in the class ahead of George W. And Kerry and Bush, Kerry actually was lower in his school GPA and everything than George W. But they were both really low. How did they get in Yale? Well, you know, if you have the father who's a billionaire, that's pretty easy to get in any college you want to, friends. Now, my dad, you know, he was I call him a thousandaire. His whole lifetime, he may have gotten $1,000. I don't know. He was a working man. He worked at a refinery, union man. But if he had been a billionaire like George Herbert Walker Bush and his dad and all, or John Kerry's dad, why, I'd been in Yale too. But anyway, I wasn't. Now, it seems that George Herbert Walker Bush was always good friends with Billy Graham. How did that happen? Oh, yeah, they knew either from way back. And it seems that Billy Graham was a big pal of George W. In fact, I have a book that says that both of them were walking on the beach. This is when George W. was sort of down. You see, his whole life, he was 40 years old, and his whole life he had done nothing. He never had a job. He was a bum. But Laura stuck with him, of course. We'll talk about Laura in a minute. And they were walking the beach. You see, Billy Graham had come to see his dad. They were at Kitty Bunkport, Maine. There they were walking on the beach and skipping along and holding hands. I mean, they were holding, Billy Graham had his arm over George W.'s shoulder. And he says, George W., your problem is you don't have Jesus. And George W. says, you're right. And so it seems that Billy Graham led him to Jesus. Now, that's the fiction. That's the legend of George W. Bush's conversion. But that really went over in the Christian market. Now, when he ran for president, they got some guy to write that book. Boy, and he flowered it up. You know, the sun was shining that day, and it was glistening on the waters, and all. It was a bunch of baloney. None of it is true, of course. But Billy Graham went around with it because he was a pal. They were all in it together. Yeah. Oh, yes. The queers, the homos, and all of them, they're all in it together. Now, George W. had a DUI, and evidently there was some black woman that had been raped in Houston, Texas. And they had to sort of cover that up, but it came out that he had a DUI. Now, this professional black woman, she was going to make trouble for him, but suddenly one day she decided to kill herself. So George, that sort of freed George W. up as president, didn't it? When that professional black woman killed herself. I don't know why she did that. You know, it just seems like a lot of people just up and kill themselves when they know the Clintons or the Bushes or the Obamas. Now, George W. became president, and there's two fabulous people. You know what a fabulous man is, don't you? Oh, yeah. One of them was Ken Mellman, and George W. made him the head of the Republican National Committee. Yeah, head of the Republican National Committee. But it turns out that Ken Mellman was queer as a $3 bill. Now, it seemed that George W. Bush also knew a man named Gannon. His last name was Gannon, G-A-N-N-O-N. Now, Gannon was always invited to the White House. In fact, he went to the White House over 100 times. Nobody knew why he had come, and he'd always come early in the morning or late at night. And he'd go up to the, you know, the residence, Gannon did. And he was working for some agency called Talon Press, T-A-L-O-N Press. And he would always show up for the presidential news conferences. Now, the other press members didn't know this guy. They didn't know what Talon Press was, but they finally, one day, they decided to check it out. Seemed that there was no Talon Press. This guy was just there because he was pals with George W. Now, George W. messed up one day, got all excited, and right there in the midst of all of them, right after he'd finished his press conference, he reached over and grabbed Mr. Gannon, young Gannon, who was a real hunk. Oh, he was a hunk, all right. He worked out. And he grabbed him and kissed him right on the head. They were shocked. How could the President of the United States get this muscle-up guy who worked for a fake news agency? How could that guy even be in the news conference? How could he be a member of the press, the presidential press? I mean, there was George W. kissing him right on the forehead.
Oh, boy.
They checked. They found out that guy was a call boy. You know what a call boy is? Well, the same as a call girl. He was available to anybody that had the money.
That's what he was doing at the White House.
Now, it seems that Laura didn't like this at all. She didn't like George W. having that boyfriend. And maybe she didn't like Ken Mellman either, the homosexual head of the Republican National Committee. But you see, Laura Bush has her own problems. Back when she was in high school, she killed a man. Oh, you've never heard about that? Let me tell you about it. She had a boyfriend when she was in high school, and she got mad at him one day, and she was with her friends driving around, I think it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and she just got angry at this boyfriend. And somehow they had communicated with each other, but anyway, the police say that it all happened this way. There was nobody out on the streets that night except her and him, and he was driving a car in front of her, and she was driving a car and had a couple of girlfriends in it. And she just up and just bammed him right in the back of his car and killed him. She killed him.
Oh,
doesn't pay to have the little first lady. She wasn't first lady at the time, of course, but she killed him. Now, later on, she, as first lady, she was asked to, by the Library Association of Texas, would she please name the play or the movie that she most liked, that had most impressed her? And do you know which one it was? Well, it was the one entitled The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. They made a movie of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Burt Reynolds played in it. He was the sheriff. And I think Dolly Parton was his, she owned a whorehouse and was the sheriff's girlfriend. Anyway, it was a seedy movie. But Laura loved it. And she told the Library Association that was my favorite play. It was on Broadway, you know, as a play and then a movie. So they had a big exhibit and everything and for Laura. She's a strange lady. By the way, after she left the White House, then she admitted, I have been pro-abortion all my life. Pro-abortion. Well, her husband says he's pro-life, but he never did anything for pro-life. He never did one flittering thing. He never supported pro-life, but all the Christians loved him because Billy Graham had said, we walked down the beach together. I put my arm around him, and I led him to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Ah, they loved him. Didn't matter if his wife was pro-gay, pro-everything. It didn't matter if George W. Bush was pro-gay. By the way, George W. Bush was well-known in Texas. He did the famous naked dance, the naked dance on top of a coffee table at a party. Not many people can do that. The naked dance. They call it something else, but I'm just calling it the naked dance for you. He had no clothes, not a stitch. But he was going to be president of the United States. When he was president, he didn't have any job, had nothing. Never worked a day in his life. In fact, he was made governor of Texas. And when he announced, I'm going to run for governor, guess what? The other two guys running for governor on the Republican ticket, they both pulled out of the race. Why is that? George W. was the, he was the only guy that ran. It seemed like the George Bush dynasty told him not to run anymore. Our son is running. Now, recently, of course, their other son, the dummy one, what's his name? The former governor of Florida. Oh, yeah, Jeb. Oh, yeah, Jeb Bush. He was losing in the debate. You know, they had several debates, presidential debates. And it seems that Jeb was losing the debate to Donald Trump. And boy, his dad was in the audience. It's on YouTube. His dad, who's an old man now, 94 years old, but he was sitting there with Barbara Bush, who, by the way, has always been pro-abortion, too. She's pro-abortion. She says she is. Why are all these wives pro-abortion? Well, it seems that George Bush was too, the senior Bush. He was at a zero population growth of pro-abortion group. And by the way, they all love Planned Parenthood. They never did one thing to stop Planned Parenthood. All that ripping apart of little babies, selling of their body parts. Bush never complained about that. Neither did his dad. Oh, boy. Now, let's talk some more about these people. Now, Billy Graham, he's a strange man. You know, in his last crusade, his last big crusade was in Long Island, New York. And he invited Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton to it. Now think about this. His last crusade, Billy Graham. And right from the podium, he said this. He said, Bill Clinton is here today. And he called him up to the podium. There they were, this big old crowd. And there Billy Graham laid his hands on Bill Clinton. Now Bill Clinton was... After every woman, he was groping every woman he could, put his hands up their legs. He was, you know, having sex with every woman he could, every bimbo in the world. But he said, you know, Billy Graham says, my good friend Bill Clinton deserves to be a Christian evangelist. He needs to go and do like I'm doing and be an evangelist to the world. Yeah, that's what he's called to do, to be an evangelist. Why, Billy Clinton must have really been pleased with that. There's the Pope of the Protestant Church, Billy Graham, saying, he ought to be an evangelist. But he was, he was doing it with every bimbo in the world, but he needed to be an evangelist. And while he's an evangelist and he's evangelizing people, these big crusades, his wife Hillary can be in the White House as president. He endorsed her as president. That was a shock. But then in Parade magazine, the very next presidential election, he admitted, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I have always voted Democrat. Now, the Democrats are the ones who are always 100% for partial birth abortion. And Billy Graham then is endorsing the Democrat. And he said Hillary Clinton should be president, but she's for partial birth abortion. But then on the other hand, Billy Graham's never been against abortion. You didn't know that? He said a more important issue than abortion is environmentalism. Save Mother Earth. That's more important. That's what Billy Graham said. Now I know you Baptists out there you're doing flip-flops. You're doing handstands. You're saying you're talking about our Pope, Billy Graham. Yeah, well you're an idiot. You're just a nincompoop. You're an insane maniac because you don't know anything. You don't, and you worship these people like Billy Graham, and they're dogs. They're dogs. They are. By the way, his son is out now. It's Franklin Graham. He's taken over. And he was asked, are you a supporter of Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Well, I don't really endorse anybody, he said. I'm going around America getting everybody to pray. I'm going to go to 50 state capitals and get them all to pray.
Yeah, I'm going to get them to pray. I don't endorse anybody for president, though. Of course he doesn't. He votes for him. He's everybody knows he's like his dad. He's a big faker. He's for Hillary. He's for abortion.
I'm trying to get everybody to pray for America. That's all.
Yeah, sure. Didn't want to put his reputation with the liberals and the Democrats on the line, did he? Well, Bill Clinton. Let's talk about Bill Clinton a little while. His wife is a lesbian, Hillary. Bill Clinton told one of his lovers, Jennifer Flowers, he said, "What? Hillary's had more women than I've had." Now, he said sort of more colorful, crude words. "Hillary has had more women sexually than I've had." And he laughed about it. Now, who was Jennifer Flowers was his lover for 12 years. They're in Arkansas. Now, Hillary, they did have a baby together, Chelsea, but Chelsea's not Bill's. Webb Hubble was the top lawyer at Rose Law Firm. And boy, she looks just like him. Chelsea does. Of course, because Bill's not her father. Now, it seems that Bill Clinton, when he got out of high school, he only asked to go to one university, Georgetown University. Now, Bill Clinton says, "I'm a Baptist, but Georgetown is a Jesuit Catholic university." A Jesuit Catholic university. Isn't that strange? Well, while he was there, he met a priest that said, "You need to be a Catholic priest, a Jesuit priest." Now, there's Billy Graham, his pal, later on saying, "You need to be a big evangelist." Yeah, you're a great Christian man, except for these bimbos, of course. By the way, Billy Graham apologized. He said, "I know all the women love to have sex and everything with my good friend Bill Clinton, but he can't help it. They're just all over him. He can't help it if he's adored and admired by these women. He just can't help it." That's what Billy Graham said. Bill Clinton just can't help it. I mean, those women are all after him, can he? He just can't. It's not his fault. Well, of course, you're right. It's not your fault. Well, now Hillary, she ran for president, but she lost to Barack. She had a campaign manager, Donna Brazile, a black woman. It turns out Donna Brazile is a lesbian. She says she's a lesbian. Now Hillary lives with Huma Abedin. She's a Muslim, and she's a lesbian. They live together. Oh, yes. And by the way, Hillary has a new campaign manager now, Robbie Mook. He's also a homosexual. So let's say she's a lesbian. Her girlfriend she lives with, Huma Abedin, is a Muslim and a lesbian. Her last campaign manager, Donna Brazile, is a lesbian. It goes on and on. It goes on and on. Donald Trump has it tough. He's fighting three dynasties. They're all pals. You know, in Haiti, the hurricane hit there, and there Bill Clinton and George W. Bush went there and stole millions and millions of dollars from those poor Haitians. It goes on and on. John Roberts, he's a queer. George Bush made him head of the Supreme Court. And he's the one who gave us Obamacare. If it weren't for his vote, we wouldn't have Obamacare. But John Roberts is also a homosexual. Friends, they're all homosexuals. America is a perverted nation. It's an evil nation. Think about that. Think about it. It's terrible, but it's true. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.